Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about working as a team when tackling clutter and organization. Are you always fighting about clutter because no one can find what they need when they need it? Does your spouse not notice the pile of stuff right in front of them? Would you like to learn how to tackle problems as a unit instead of failed starts and stops to get on the same page? Learn how to work together as we continue our month focused on teamwork. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Hey everyone, take two for this intro. I have to laugh. Sometimes technology is really great. I uploaded this for the podcast, and then I went to YouTube to upload it, and they rejected it because they said it's already been posted. So I did edited. This is from when I did the live coaching sessions. And I think, what I think I'm going to end up doing starting next year is do one free live coaching session a month, and probably do that from my Reawaken Your Brilliance Facebook page. I have been doing for my personal page. The technology, Facebook changed how they did stuff, and I had my husband who knows more than I do, and I followed all their steps, and I still couldn't do a live video feed. I had to get on my iPad to do it. So that's something I'm toying with, and let me know if that's something you'd be interested in. So anyway, these were from the live coaching sessions that I did when many of us were quarantined or in a different state and maybe not out as much. And I had requests from people at the end of each coaching session. I did, I think, 8 or 9. So I did for a couple months. Then what do you want to hear? So this was a question, how can I work with my spouse? And as I mentioned, if you're both organized, you're not going to hire me. If you both have clutter, you don't care. And so I am called into situations where there's a difference of opinion. And so I wanted to share this episode. And at first, I said, well, roommate, but you have a different dynamic and usually in a different relationship with the roommate. So this is about a spouse or partner. And if you aren't on the same page, so this is kind of advice that I would start with clients. I don't need to tell you all the stress and tension that can be created when you are not in a harmonious household. So that was one of the other reasons that I wanted to share this. And of course, you can apply this to other areas in your life. Enjoy.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I am joining you from very rainy, cold Raleigh. We have storms coming through. I'm grateful. Have a candle on. I'm going to make cauliflower au gratin after this. How's it get any better than that, right? That's one of my projects during this time at stay at home, is seeing how I can make the best possible cauliflower au gratin. So I had a request. I talked a couple of weeks ago working with children, but someone wanted to know how to work with my spouse, how to work with my partner when decluttering and getting organized. You know, I've said if both people have a lot of clutter, they're not going to call me. If they're super organized, they don't need me. And I kind of come into the situation when there's a difference of view. So we're going to talk about how you can successfully navigate decluttering and getting organized when someone doesn't have the same style, doesn't have the same perceptions, don't think about things differently and do things differently. How can you successfully navigate that? Now, first, because it's during the time of the corona and many of us are stay at home and quarantine, I want to bring good news. I think that's something that's important. First of all, I have to say I saw a really funny sign that said, my husband is for sale. It looked like it was in Europe because you know how they have all those older buildings and they turned into apartments that were these huge grand places, and she hung out this big sign that said, I have a husband for sale, and that kind of cracked me up. It can be challenging for many of us. So here first, let's start off with some good news. So I read that the BBC, I love the BBC. I mean, if I was in England, I'd say BBC all the time, and just with that great British accent. They have experts, famous experts, who've been delivering online courses to the school kids over there. I mean, how excellent is this? They had another young man, a spry 99-year-old and World War II vet, who raised 18 million pounds for the NHS, which is England's health system. And he did this by having a walker, and he did 100 laps around his garden, which I think is awesome. You're 99 years old and you're in great physical shape and you're doing something wonderful. His goal was originally 18,000 pounds and again, 18 million. So how awesome is that? You can see they say the Himalaya Mountains for the first time in years. And again, Mother Nature rebalancing, getting back into shape, cleansing herself. So I think that that's something that's really phenomenal. Now, I just saw this right before I came on. Oh, and Lady Gaga, let's talk about what a great concert she did and raising money to help fight the corona pandemic, put this together. I didn't watch it. Looks like it was great. And she had a lot of good people there, especially if you're a music person. I'm sure that you enjoyed that. So that was just some of the good news. And I want to, as I talk every episode of the Corona Files, what can you do to make a difference? And one of the reasons why I say this is because, one, it can get you into a moment of gratitude. If you are really stuck right now, if you're watching this, whether it's on Facebook Live, whether it's listening from the podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube, you probably have a lot to be grateful for because you have access. There are people who don't have access to a computer in this world. There are people who don't have access to safe housing, don't have access to clean drinking water. And I share this because if you can do something or look for something and you see the gratitude, because I think so many people are grateful, you see just thank yous everywhere. And it gets you out of, if you're really bummed out, you're feeling like you're stuck, taking action helps you move forward. Doing something for another human being, I believe, always supports you. I've always said that when I do something kind for someone, I feel the majority of the time like they got the short end of the stick because it felt so good to give. It felt so good to make a difference. So I'm going to encourage you. What can you do? And last week I talked about there are several things that don't cost money that you can do. And I talked about focusing on a business, but you can call your neighbor, check in and see how they're doing. If you are in good health and able to go to the grocery store and have a mask, then you can make a run for someone and allow them to stay at home. If someone is not feeling well, can you take their pet for a walk? There are always options. And I also share this with you because it's good to, I encourage you to seek all the good that's going on in your community. And it's very important, I believe, and we'll talk about this next week, but increasing your awareness about yourself. I was like, I want to read this. And so it was a financial money column about, you know, how you should spend your money. And one of the things we did with the money that we got was we hired a young couple to do some yard work for us. They had just started a business and lost it. And I thought, you know, my husband had said to me, well, you know, I would do something. I wouldn't hire someone to do something that we can do. And I said, yeah, but you know what? They're looking for work. They lost their jobs. They need to have something coming in. They have a baby on the way. So we have the means to do this. We can use the money that we received, and it's not going to completely get them out of a really difficult situation, but it's going to help. And I feel that that's important for us to give back. And so I'm reading this money column, and the person, I just couldn't believe it. I mean, talk about complete lack of self-awareness. He complained because he and his wife made $155,000 in 2018, and so then they made $195,000 as a team in 2019, and he feels that they are being punished because they did their taxes early. He would have gotten more money back. And truthfully, I just was amazed at that statement. Now, luckily, the money person was like, come on now, like, you know, you need to get a grip and really look at people who are really suffering right now. And, you know, he didn't mention anything like they've lost their jobs, none of that, just wanted to complain. And to me, that's a complete lack of self-awareness and just no concept of what's going on. It's like the billionaire that posted on his yacht who was quarantining on his yacht. It's like, man, come on. So I encourage you to increase your awareness wherever you can. Today we're going to focus on working together. So here are some of my tips. The first tip that I have for you is put the past in the past. A lot of times I've seen with couples, and ladies, I have to say, we tend to be more than us. I've seen most times men, stuff happens and they let it go. Put the past in the past. What I mean by that, if your husband hasn't organized, your partner hasn't organized for years, they have a stack of magazines by the bed that they've had for years, that's in the past. Okay, so leave that there. Don't come to a team meeting, and remember there's no I in team, and consider yourself a team, right? You want to support each other. You're here to have a common goal, to support one another and declutter and get organized. And just a quick note about that, if you are saying, hey, you know what, I have to do my kids online or have to help with schooling, or I'm still working from home. I know that's the case for a lot of people, but I'll use my husband as an example. So he commutes 3 days a week, and his commute is 45 minutes each way. So that's an hour and a half. So he's gained 4.5 hours for every week that he's been quarantined. So we've been quarantining since about March 4th, that week or the week after. So he's, over 20 hours of time that he's gained. So I encourage you to look at, you know what, I can declutter and organize and spend the time that I would have been commuting. Or if you drive your kids to school, or if you are running less errands or taking kids to activities, look at all that time you saved and then say, okay, then I have the time, I can make this happen. So again, put the past in the past. Whatever's happened, start with a fresh, clean slate. And you can address any problems that come up. Again, you want to find a solution. I'd also encourage you, look at other projects that you've done together and how have you successfully navigated those. You know, organizing and decluttering is no different. In my marriage, Tony can, because he was in the Army, knows how to fold a fitted sheet. I'm really awful when I get them decently folded, it's a win for me. But he does a really good job of that. Tell the story, we'd been married about a year and we were removing wallpaper in the kitchen, and Tony's doing something, and there was something, like, I don't know if it was right for steam, looking for that, it looks like a big flat spatula. And Tony, and there was a time, like you have to get something off within a few minutes of when you put it on, and couldn't find it. And I said, hey, let's get let's try to get the garage organized. But I didn't want to push it, right? But I felt like, one, I know this process from working with people, and my marriage is more important than having my garage organized. And so he got really frustrated. He went out the garage, and we have a big container full of tools that my dad had put together for me when I was single. Anyway, so dumped it out, found it. But after that, he wanted to organize the garage. So when we downsized, the garage looks fantastic. All Tony. His tools are organized. Now he is going through a couple drawers that he needs to organize, but they were hidden. And I was like, you know what? We're going to get it done as long as we continue to work on it. And, you know, we are down to our bedroom and our closet for what we have to declutter. And it's only April. So we have spent a lot of time doing that. So I just share that with you, and, you know, have the belief that your spouse can learn skills, and we'll talk about a little bit more, but just know that that can happen. So look at other projects that you've done together. What skills do you bring to the table? Where are your weaknesses, and your partner, spouse, vice versa? So you can come up with a game plan that's going to allow you to successfully organize and declutter. Just apply those skills to the project.
Overwhelm with stuff, can't find what you need when you need it, tired of wasting time and energy maintaining your mess, longing for peace of mind. Get control of your clutter so your clutter doesn't control you. Reclaim time, money, sanity, and resources. Physical got clutter. 365 journal prompts supports you in clearing your physical clutter. Free gift with purchase to support you even more in your journey to declutter your life.
Also going to encourage you to plan. Take the time. You know, if you are completely overwhelmed, say, Julie, our whole house needs decluttered and organized. That's okay, but let's not worry about that now. So let's look around and say, is there something urgent going on? Like, we're going to have shelves installed in the garage in 2 months. Okay, then maybe doing the garage is a priority. Or, you know what, I really don't sleep well in my bedroom because there's a lot of clutter. Then maybe that's where you need to start. So pick a place that you want to start and plan it. I just, one area. Just when you do that and successfully are able to complete a task, and that allows you to go on to other spaces. But concentrate on one living space or area and don't move on until you have completed that. And so plan. Okay, you know what? I think this is going to be a day-long project or a weekend. And I always encourage you plan more time than you think. One of my frustrations as a professional organizer is seeing these shows and they're just not realistic because just not, it just, you know, you don't see the team behind the scene. So can you devote a weekend, whatever you think, and add more. If one of the spouses is reluctant, partners is reluctant, try to see if you can find out and ask them, well, what's clutter costing you? Does it cost you peace of mind? Is it giving you stress because you can't find your keys in the morning every time you have to go out, or you couldn't find the papers for a project and you had a Zoom meeting? Whatever it is, try and get them to figure out what's it costing me. Oh, wow, you know what? I never thought about it. It is costing me something. And then, of course, motivation. What is going to motivate you? Would you like to have a stress-free morning? Would you like to not have to pay interest when you are late for something? You know, tap into those things, because that is going to, when you're doing the project and in your muck of it, you'll be like, hey, remember, what's our motivation? What do we talk about? And get everyone involved. If you have, depending on the project, like, and again, depending on the ages of the kids, teenagers for sure, they can support you in decluttering and organizing the garage. And again, I think that's so important, because if we teach kids these skills, then they don't turn into adults that have challenges as they get older. You can understand, well, you know, I never had to let go of anything as a child. Well, you know, you get set in your ways. It's more of a challenge than an adult. So get everyone possible involved. And again, depending on the project, if, you know, spouses probably don't need the kids to be involved in decluttering the bedroom. You know, just use common sense with that. I'd also encourage you to set up guidelines. You know, one of the guidelines that I have when working with couples and family, no shame, no blame, that brings us back to, like, whatever happened in the past is there. If I need to have a private conversation with one of the people, I'm always want to do that. They got to vent, got to barf it out, got to share their frustration. That's fantastic. Now, if you're not going to hire someone, then maybe you have a friend that could be, oh my gosh, and just, you know, just barf it out and then let it go. And so set up guidelines. So we're not going to shame. We're not going to blame. We are going to consider all points of view. We'll make a decision as a team, majority rules. Again, whatever makes the most sense to you. But then you have guidelines. And I also encourage you to have guidelines that can help speed up the process of decluttering. So say you are decluttering your closet and your partner has a bazillion t-shirts and you say, okay, anything with a hole in it just goes because it's already started. It's going to go in the rag bin. Maybe we can donate it to the animal shelter, thing like that. So you set it up, or you say anything in the pantry that's expired, we're just going to let it go. We don't want it to be a safety hazard to anyone. It's expired. And again, you know, do your research about expiration dates. If they say, oh no, you can use a spicier afterwards, okay, but if you set up guidelines or rules, it just makes things go faster. You know, if you're cleaning out the garage, anything that's been exposed to mildew or is really disgusting and you wouldn't give it to a friend, let that go. Make the project fun, right? You know, a lot of people find decluttering and organizing just to stink. And I have to tell you, when I've dealt with rat poop and doing some attics and stuff, that is not fun. It is not fun to deal with rat poop and seeing that. So how can you make the project fun? You can get some groovy music, whatever people like. You can I don't know, listen to a podcast if that's something that interests you. And, you know, and it might be also time because to have a really good conversation. Say, hey, I've been meaning to talk about this. Whatever it is that means fun to you. And then I encourage you. And one person can do this, but like get water. So everyone has water on hand or have snacks ready. And again, you want to try to minimize any disruption. So if you're the more organized one, and you're ready to roll, I'm going to encourage you, just take that extra step. So, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'll get snacks. I'll get water. I'll get a boom box or however you have set up and so you can listen to radio. Take charge of that because you aren't great at everything. And so if your partner struggled, you'd want your partner to help you as well if it was an area of weakness for you. So and I mentioned this at the beginning with guidelines, but I want to say this again, no judgment, no shame. Don't make fun of someone. You know, we all have our reasons. We're human beings. We all have our challenges. So I see that a lot. I've seen that with other professionals. I've had people hire me that said, you know what? I've been shamed before. And one client tell me, she's really proud of her. She's had someone come and it was like, I just work on my own, but it was a business and they sent out someone and she called and said, don't ever have that person come back to my house again, which I thought was great because they were able to set a boundary. So no shame, no blame. If you're really struggling, you might need to hire someone. Now, I know I'm not working with clients. I'm working virtually. But if it's something right now where you can't, you just maybe need to table it until you can hire someone. If you are that far apart, then have someone else step in and be neutral. Then I want you to think about how can you reward yourself, especially if you're doing, you know, the garage or the attic where you can get just all gross and nasty. How can you reward yourself after? What can you, maybe you get cleaned up and go on a nice dinner date. Maybe you schedule a couple's massage the next weekend. Maybe you have a family outing to the zoo, depending on who's involved. Have some type of reward. I think that that's really important. And, you know, again, like I think just in general, scheduling things like that are really important. And, you know, right now, you can't go, but then say, okay, what is the activity of the family we want to do afterwards? Or what is an activity of the couple that we'd like to do once we spend all this time decluttering and getting organized? Here are some more tips for working with someone. Again, if this is more your area of expertise, you're going to be the kind of leader there. It needs to be even, but step up if this is your skill set. So how can you build confidence? One of the questions that I ask on my intake form is, how are you organized? Because in some way, shape, or form, everyone is organized. And that helps build confidence. And that reminds someone, oh, yeah, you know what? I am organized in this way. Or, oh, yeah, I have decluttered in the past. So I encourage you, if your spouse is reluctant, to find a way to build their confidence. And I also want to say something. I have a story from when I worked with the family. And one spouse was really good about decluttering, one was way more challenged. And it was interesting how that translated to their children. But the one spouse that, and this was actually really interesting because I was dealing with six people and would go around and check and the spouse had disappeared and had gone to do project, nothing to do with decluttering. And that told me, you know, it was hard for them. So, okay, let's talk it out. But I bring this point up because the spouse had done an incredible job. It was very challenging for them to let things go. And then they were going through stuff and the spouse wanted to hold on to, you know how at Easter, if you celebrate Easter and you do an Easter egg hunt, you can get those plastic things and you can hide candy and treats in them. The spouse didn't want to let those go. And so at that point I was like, just let the spouse keep it. This is really, you've done an incredible job. This is a process. Don't give someone a hard time. If they have been letting things go and still need to keep things, you know, you have to have some compassion in there. You have to be able to say, okay, is this really worth it? Is this worth my time and energy? Is this a fight? Is this the hill I want to die on? So just remind you, as long as you're making progress, I have found that the more you do this, the easier it becomes. But have some compassion, cut some slack. And, you know, I always tell everyone I work with, do an annual purge. That's what I'm talking about. We have all of 2020 have been going through and purging things and downsizing yet again. And because I do it every year, we keep on top of it. And so that's really important. Now, I would say I probably do the lion's share, and then I'm very like, okay, honey, I need you to sit down and go through your files today. Let's go through the closet together. But that's, again, my skill set. And so I'm happy to be in charge of that. If you're working with a family, you know, I'd mentioned earlier setting up guidelines. I would give the personal space, like say if you have a teenager, give them some, cut them some slack, let them kind of create their own rules, guidelines. And again, if you work with them, say, okay, you know, laundry's got to, if you want your clothes on the floor, then once a week you have to pick them up. But give them a little privacy and space. Now, in common areas where you all are hanging out, like the kitchen, the TV room, come up with guidelines together. You know, like, can we all agree that we don't want dirty clothes thrown on the living room floor? And if you take your sweatshirt off, you take it to your room or you hang it up or whatever. Come up with common guidelines that you all can abide by, because different people are going to be spending time there. And let's see what else I have. Talked about building confidence, no judgment and shame. And then in addition, I would pay attention during this. What have you learned from this experience when organizing and decluttering? What have you learned about yourself, your spouse, your family? And then how can you take what you've learned and move forward with that? How can you apply it to different projects? You know, for instance, you may learn, wow, we estimated 4 hours for this project and actually took 8. And boy, I did not like that. I did not like having a cushion. So I know for the next project we do, whatever it is, I'm going to double, maybe even triple my time. And so I don't feel like I have failed, or I don't feel like this pressure to get it done in time. You know, or if you might learn that, wow, we were, the family really need to talk about something. There are some issues we need to address. Again, whatever that, just be aware, just pay attention. So those are just a few tips on how, when working with mainly a spouse, but also some tips thrown in there for family when you are decluttering and getting organized.
Take actions from today's podcast. Keep the past in the past. Everyone's opinion counts. Learn from previous successful collaborations. Focus on being a team throughout the process. Make the project fun. Be open to compromise. Engage in a fun, healthy activity post-project. On our next episode, we're talking about lessons learned from the coronavirus pandemic. Go out, clear your clutter, to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. If you've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, please rate, review, and share us.